Welcome back, guys. DGS, happy Friday to you. Our friend attorney Brad Young joins us now to talk about Supreme Court. Hello, Brad.
Hey, Dave. I always like Lynyrd Skynyrd walk-up music. That's great.
Nice. We will remember that. You'll get nothing else. So do this any way you want to do it. You talk about in any order you want to do it and what's coming down the pike and what we already have.
Well, it's a huge day at the Supreme Court. Three enormous bombshell decisions. I'm going to mention them briefly. Some are more arcane than others, but really briefly, here's the big decisions. First of all, there's this case involving the January 6th riots, and it was Fisher v. U.S., and in this case, the guy was prosecuted. We've talked about this before under what's called the Sarbanes-Oxley Act. Mm. This was a law that went into effect after Enron, and it was wholly solely focused on financial issues. But the prosecutors used one line from this entire statute to prosecute all the January 6th defendants. And over 300, in fact, have been prosecuted under this, including former President Trump, and the Supreme Court. And even this was not along ideological lines. Ketanji Brown Jackson actually ruled in the majority, 6-3. Amy Coney Barrett was in the dissenting group, along with Sotomayor and Kagan. But essentially what they ruled is that you can't stretch a statute beyond what it was designed to do. And unless you're charging someone with the destruction of financial documents, which is ironic given what President Trump just went through recently. Mm-hmm. But unless you're charging them with the destruction of financial documents, you can't use this as a bootstrap to prosecute rioters at the U.S. Capitol.
Might be a bit in the weeds, but I'm curious, the former attorney in me, what was the basic approach of the dissent? Why did they think that you could?
Well, if you look at the dissent, I read the dissent today, and the dissent was essentially arguing that the ends justifies the means, that because everyone, according to the dissent, everyone knows that it was a terrible incident, that it doesn't go beyond the stretch of the imagination, that the words have meaning. And if you look at the actual words in the Sarbanes-Oxley Act, it specifically states to disrupt an official proceeding. Now, that's not what was intended when the law was written, but that's what the dissent focused on. Those are the words of the statute. This was a horrible event. Therefore, there's no problem putting those two together.
So what practical effect does it have on the defendants? Are they free as a bird now, or are they going to be recharged with something else?
Well, I looked through, I did the math. It looks like out of the 300 individuals who were charged, including Donald J. Trump, under this, only 50 were exclusively charged under this. Mm-hmm. So presumably those 50, if they have pled guilty or if they have been convicted, they can petition to get this overturned or reversed, their convictions. For the others, for many of those, this is the only felony that they were charged with. So a lot of the other 300 individuals, they could see their charges dropped to merely misdemeanors, mm-hmm. Which are basically, you know, glorified speeding tickets. Now, how it applies to Trump, this eliminates two of the four charges against him for January 6th. And so now, instead of being able to overcharge him with multiple felonies, it's going to cut that from 4-2.
Okay. Next case.
And this is, I'm really going to make this brief because this is really arcane legal stuff here. It's called Lopper versus Relentless. I'm sorry, the Department of Commerce. Then for the last 40 years, there's this thing called the Chevron deference. Here's what that means in layman's terms and why it matters to everyone who's listening. Since the early 1980s, the Supreme Court held that unless Congress specifically dictates what an administrative agency is supposed to do, the agency has free rein to do whatever they want unless Congress has legislated otherwise. But this is a culmination of, and legal wonks have been arguing this topic for the last 30, 40 years. And we've seen this Supreme Court come out very strongly saying, unless Congress authorizes an agency to do something, it could be anything from regulating hospitals to regulating auto emissions to regulating fishing rights off of Alaska. I mean, this is an enormous decision, and it literally transforms how every federal agency operates by saying, no, The agency can only do what Congress tells them they can do. It's not the reverse. They can't do anything they want until Congress spanks them. They can only do what Congress tells them they can do. This will completely revolutionize administrative agencies in this country.
Almost like a miniature enumeration clause.
Yes, exactly like that. And this will be a huge deal. It's going to take years for us to understand the gravity of this decision. And so we'll see this unfolding clearly over the next months and years.
That's interesting. It's interesting to a wonk like me. So the third case?
Third case. This one has been one that homeless advocates have been following very closely. It's called the City of Grants Pass, Oregon versus Johnson.
Yes.
And in this case, if you've heard of it, this case dealt with Grants Pass, Oregon, who's had all these homeless people sleeping on the streets. And they said, we got to do something about it. So they passed an anti-camping law that there's no camping allowed after the hours of 10 p.m. on any public facility. And so people filed suit. They said homeless people are there and you're discriminating against them. They're lacking the equal protection of the law because they don't have a house to go back to. And it's also, they brought it under the cruel and unusual punishment provision of the Constitution, mm-hmm. saying people are being punished for being homeless. And the Supreme Court ruled 6-3 here that no, it has nothing to do with punishing individuals. It has everything to do with cities being allowed to regulate who is occupying public spaces at hours that you would normally not occupy public spaces. So it gets sent back down to the lower courts, but this will have ramifications even to St. Louis because of the homeless people who've been camping out on the steps of City Hall in St. Louis and other places. This will give cities the power to take action against homeless encampments.
I'm not sure if it should make me happy, Brad, but it does make me happy to see the mix of the justices in these opinions.
Yeah, exactly. Particularly in that first decision with Fisher, because in this instance, we had Ketanji Brown Jackson in the majority with Alito and Thomas. You know, I can't even see them sitting in a room without mm-hmm. throwing water balloons at each mm-hmm. other. But here they are. They are on the same side. Amy Coney Barrett now siding with the with Sotomayor and Kagan. And I like that. Every decision mm-hmm. should not be along ideological lines. And this demonstrates that they can, in fact, get along.
So Brad is not only our legal correspondent, but a very savvy political guy. I got to get your thoughts on last night. Tell me about your experience.
Well, I'm wondering today if President Trump or former President Trump is going to be indicted for attempted assault against an elderly man. I just don't know if that's going to happen. Also, my question, as I saw it last night, I thought, I don't know who had a worse day yesterday, Michaelis or Biden, because they both got shellacked. Now, reality. What's the effect of what happened yesterday? I've predicted several times here on Camo X that I thought there was a pretty good chance that Biden would not be on the ballot in November. And I said it would depend on the debate. Here's why. If the Democratic leadership believes that Biden cannot win in November, I don't think it has as much to do with can he do the job. I think it has to do with can he win in November. And if the decision is he cannot win in November, literally any other Democrat would beat Trump, according to polling data. Mm. And so if the Democrats are looking to win the election, then the best move would be to remove Biden if polling data suggests that he can't win in November.
So, Brad, let's say that just for grins, it ends up being Newsom and Buttigieg. The polling and your gut, does it tell you that that's correct, that they could beat Trump or would beat Trump?
I think that the evidence would be that they would beat Trump because at this point, Biden has such high negatives. Most of the country, I mean, political wonks know who Gavin Newsom is. Most of the country does not know who he is in any depth or detail. The guy's very articulate. He can argue. He can make a point. He can be concise. And at that point, I think it would certainly be in Gavin Newsom's benefit in terms of the polling numbers. I think he would win very handily because Trump's negatives are so high.
All right, Brad, you're the best. Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
So, Wheels, you said that Joe Biden, or at least Joe Biden's Twitter account, is taking some responsibility.
Well, I mean, like a few hours ago, the account tweeted out, I don't know what you guys were doing last night, but for 90 minutes, I debated a guy with the morals of an alley cat.
So walk me through, like you guys did on the break, why that's such a bad tweet, because I agree with you on all of your points.
I mean, A, you couldn't sound like more of a codger, which is what you sounded like last night, right? I mean, like, that's the whole... when the whole
morals of an alley cat.
When one of, yes, when one of the largest arguments against you is that you're too old,
quit
stop acting old.
Yeah.
Right? But also...
listen here, Buster Brown.
Like... the better points to focus on, if you're, and I know he's doing the account. He's not doing these things.
Sure. But
like the account is starting to go, you know, going through more of like, here are the lies or the inaccuracies or the whatever about some of the claims. That's fine. That's all you should be talking about. And also, I think, don't you agree? I think you guys seem to agree. Like when you take a loss, admit you took a loss. Like, you know what? I had a bad night last night. Make a joke out of it. And well, whatever, and stop pretending like what we all saw didn't happen.
Did you see he did do that? His account tweeted at 12:48, it tweeted, "Folks, I might not walk as easily or talk as smoothly as I used to, and I might not debate as well as I used to, but what I do know how to do is tell the truth."
Why I like this is that, and again, he could not even know those tweets went out. He could have nothing to do with
right.
it.
He doesn't have
but
any.
But let's assume for the moment that at least he knows about it at least. Mm-hmm. My worry after watching last night is that he is so very compromised because I've been through and I have no idea if it's Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, just, you know, old age. But when my dad went through it and my mom going through it now, people can tend to get very stubborn. I'm not going to give you my car keys. It's my GD car. I'm going to drive as long as I want to drive. I fought in World War II. Damn it. That kind of stuff. My worry was that that would happen to the president, and I'm the president GD, and I'm going to do whatever I'm going to do, and you're not going to take this away from me. That was my worry. The fact that they are at least admitting not nearly to what it was, but at least to it wasn't great.
Right.
At least he's opening the door to I'm not what I once was.
Yeah, and the problem, though, strategically, I mean, again, I'm an amateur at all this, but you're at least in some way acknowledging that you're not what you used to be. And then your opponents can take that and say, see, he admits it. He's not what he used to be. If he can't debate as well as he used to, what else can't he?
Yeah,
like,
he's gonna have
that's
to
the
debate
door
Kim
that you're
Jong-un
opening.
And
right.
Putin and
that's the
Xi.
That's the door you're opening. And I'm not saying it's wrong. I mean, you got to. I think the whole point about honesty is probably their best sell. But, you know, does it work?
What's your gut? What are your guts? What do you think? I think he's replaced.
Do you?
I think he'll step aside.
I don't.
That's my gut.
I think he sticks it out.
Yeah, I don't know. I would like him to be replaced. I am 100% in support of him being replaced, but I just can't envision it.
I really don't know. I mean, I remember thinking back in like February, something happened that I was like, he's going to drop out at any moment because there's no way this can continue. But then it was like, he always seems to pull together for the big events. Well, last night was a pretty big event, and nothing was pulled together. It was embarrassing. It was hard to watch. It was sad. We deserve better than this. We just do. But I could also see him just holding on because the narrative today for the people who are still like really hardcore supporting him is like, he's the only Democrat that can beat Donald Trump. He's the only
evidently
one.
He's the only one who can't.
Yeah. The thing that I struggle with just overall in politics, especially presidential elections, but I think any national election or even a statewide one is it's always decided by a very small percentage of people who are willing to swing back and forth between parties, right? Like, hardcore Democrats are not voting for Trump no matter what happened last night. And hardcore Republicans, even ones that aren't totally MAGA, are probably not going to vote for Biden or instead of Trump based on all the stuff we've seen from Donald Trump, right? Just based on the 34 counts in New York or any other thing, January 6th, whatever it is. So the people that can be swayed, I don't know what sways them.
Well, don't you think
because what do you know today that you didn't know before?
Don't you think a bunch of people just aren't going to vote now?
Yes.
Maybe. The question is turnout.
I think there are going to be plenty of people who are like, I can't vote for Donald Trump. I never will. But I also can't vote for this guy after all that.
I think turnout's the big question, right?
One of the things that I don't want to happen is we're already, in my opinion, being gaslighted by Trump I don't want to be gaslighted by the Biden administration as well.
Yeah.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
425 DGS. Happy Friday. Hope you guys have a great weekend. Sounds like it's going to be nice, especially on Sunday. You want some fun facts with an emphasis on science?
Yes.
Yeah.
Science Friday. NASA is, get this, NASA is going to pay SpaceX $843 million to destroy the space station in 2030.
Wow.
I know.
I know they have to rebuild it because it's, I guess it only stays good for, I sound so stupid.
It's got an expiration
date. I knew it was about, you know, they're going to have to get rid of it at some point.
How do you destroy it?
They're designing a craft that can dock with it and guide it back to Earth so that it lands in the ocean.
Very really? Cool.
So you don't have to worry about it like it's crapshoot. Land in your backyard.
Why wouldn't they just like fire it further off into deep space?
And the plan is to help private companies build their own space stations, which NASA and tourists would get to use.
Very cool.
Also, did you see that Russia, they think they blew up one of their own satellites and it was like the movie Gravity with George Clooney and Sandra Bullock, where it sprayed a bunch of debris and the astronauts in the ISS had to take cover.
Wow.
Yeah. And the people, Boeing is saying, hey, look, the astronauts we sent up there on the Starliner are not stranded. We're just not bringing them back yet. So they're trying to make some preemptive repairs on things that didn't quite work on the way up, but they're not going anywhere anytime soon.
They're like, stranded is a strong word.
Very strong word.
Something else.
We don't like it. We prefer can't leave.
Yeah, we prefer trapped. We prefer trapped, really.
This is an interesting story. So it's always been thought that Neanderthals were just these big, hairy brutes, and that they were sort of like the Spartans in the movie 300, where if a child was born with a birth defect, they threw him down in a cliff and just like, screw you, you're not going to be able to help in any way. And they recently uncovered a Neanderthal child with Down syndrome who lived to be about 13 or 14 years old. So obviously this little girl was cared for the same way when you find that certain people are burying their dead. Mm-hmm. They're showing a certain aptitude, a certain, you know, dedication and a certain emotion. And they're saying that this shows that they were much more human than what we thought.
Have you watched the Netflix thing about Neanderthals?
I sure have.
Is it worth it?
Yes, it is.
It's good?
It's very good.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
all right.
Really good. Get this. Scientists in Japan have come up with a way to wrap a robot in living human skin cells grown in a lab.
So the Terminator.
Basically. Yeah, even beyond Ex Machina.
Well, it's been nice knowing you guys.
Yeah. No, that's the end. That's it. Wrapping it up.